You found Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Glad you joined us tonight. Thanks for sticking around. It is Primetime Action live from the South Point Hotel Casino. Majestic South Point Hotel Casino. Am I allowed to say that? Majestic? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good description.
Of course.
Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. 3-0 Braves. Framber Valdez wiggled out of a bases-loaded jam. Really poor at-bat from Austin Riley. So 3-0 it remains. We go to the bottom of the second. The Warriors have cut it to 4 after being down 15. I'm liking my in-game money line on the Warriors. Time that nicely. Lakers up 6, 23-17. 2:50 left in the first quarter, so that's looking good early for us. Your Sixers, though, aren't cooperating, Kelly. That's the
Dunzo.
One.
That's it was a good thing that you punted on that one.
Yes.
On that bet.
Sometimes.
See, that's yes, I would say. Like, you know, you save yourself some money.
Sometimes the best bets are the bets not made. Let's get a gentleman in here to help us out with some football bets. He is from Pro Football Focus. You can follow him on Twitter at PFF underscore Ben Brown. Coincidentally, it is Ben Brown, everybody, betting in data for Pro Football Focus. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing well. I mean, thanks for having me on, gentlemen. It's, you know, World Series game one, but I think it's always a great time to talk about some NFL football as well. So
always. It never stops. We could talk about it all day long, believe me.
Right.
So let me just ask you a question off the top. From your preseason thoughts or data analysis, what is the one team to the good and the one team to the bad that has surprised you the most through the first 7 weeks of the season?
Yeah, I mean, that is a really good question, right? I would say right now, through week seven, I would say the most disappointing team in the NFL outside of the Miami Dolphins is the Kansas City Chiefs, of course. You know, we understand what they're, you know, having struggles on both offensive and defensive, turning the football over way too much. So I think they're the most disappointing team, the team that I've personally been the most wrong on and definitely lost the most money on betting so far to start this season. And at the other side, I think I was pretty high on the Cincinnati Bengals. So I would say the Arizona Cardinals have surprised me the most. They have improved more than any other team based on our ELO rankings from the preseason heading into week 8 here. So I think, you know, they are tops in the division, only undefeated team. We don't have them, you know, as the top team in our power rankings, but I think they're basically on the verge at this point. And that is not something that I would have expected here in the preseason.
Been circling back around to the Chiefs team here. I mean, you look past this week, 10-point favorites against the Giants, but then it's a game against Green Bay. They'll have Devontae Adams back. Do you believe in the Raiders? They still have 2 games left against the Raiders. They've got the Chargers again. They've got the Bengals. They've got Dallas Cowboys as well. We were sitting here just talking about it. I mean, listen, you're getting plus money on them not to make the playoffs with what's going on the offensive side of the ball, what's going on the defensive side of the ball. Is it crazy to think that this team somehow finds their way on the outside looking in?
I mean, yeah, right now, if you were basically, you know, flipping coins, we'd have it at 45% that they would make the playoffs based on our latest simulation that we ran today, you know, based on their strength of schedule, which we have right around, I think it's like fourth or let me see what they actually are, you know, finish out the season. I think we have them at 14th overall, so league average. But like you said, if you buy into the Raiders, still have that matchup twice, have the Chargers once, have Packers, it's going to be really difficult. So if they don't figure it out basically after this, you know, week 8 matchup against the Giants, I think it's time to hit the panic button, and they could be, you know, once again, kind of that Super Bowl hangover team that wasn't necessarily able to get it done the year before and misses the playoffs, which is kind of crazy to say, especially with where we expected them to be in the preseason.
Let me ask you one more thing about what we talked about earlier on the show, which has to do with the NFC playoff picture, and you essentially have, and it's funny to say this after 7 weeks, but really 5 teams are kind of in. Cowboys, right. Packers, Bucks, Cardinals, and Rams. And then it's a mad scrum for the final 2, which should probably last the rest of the season. Of those teams, beyond the 5 I mentioned, who's got the best shot per your numbers, which 2, at making the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, we really like the Minnesota Vikings as kind of that 6th or 7th team right now. Obviously, you know, the NFC North, really poor division in general. They have the 6th most difficult remaining schedule, I think. So I think that's probably a detriment to them. But kind of like you said, those top 5 teams in the NFC, they are 5 best teams in the NFL from my perspective right now. I think I would put all of them probably ahead of the Buffalo Bills.
Wow.
So I think all the NFC teams, you know, are going to have difficult schedules here coming out. And I think those are probably your 5 legitimate Super Bowl contenders, with the Bills up there as well. And, you know, kind of depends on how you handicap the Bengals. some of those other teams from the AFC. But I think it's going to be the Vikings. And depending on how quickly the Seahawks get Russell Wilson back, I do think they have at least a fighting chance to get in, even with their somewhat difficult remaining schedule as well.
Ben, let me ask you a question that maybe there isn't some of your numbers that you can really go to here, but more of just what you think you've seen so far. I mean, this is the MVP race right now is pretty crazy because you want to make a case for Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford. I'm all ears basically for any of these guys. Justin Herbert, if he can go ahead and right the ship after the one bad game. There's like all these different guys. As we sit right now, what's your gut feeling on it? And then kind of what's a dark horse guy that is out there that if somebody wanted to go make a bet here as we're entering week 8, that's got a little bit of a bigger number and might be able to pay off?
Yeah, definitely. I do think, Kyler Murray, probably that front runner along with Matthew Stafford right now. I do think the media and, how the MVP voting kind of breaks out from that angle, I do think Matthew Stafford might be just a little bit better of, the front runner right now if you're looking to bet one of those guys. And, dark horse candidate, I think that a little bit lower odds outside of those top six teams that we kind of talked about. I do like Ryan Tannehill from the Tennessee Titans. Of course, Derrick Henry, popular narrative, but if they rely on Tannehill down the stretch, they are going to probably run away with that AFC South. And if they end up being, the number two team in the AFC, I think there's a reasonable chance that maybe he ends up, as kind of that dark horse MVP candidate right now. So if I was handicapping it, I do think Matthew Stafford, the favorite to play. Ryan Tannehill, probably a little bit lower odds, longer odds, a little bit more dark horse candidate to play.
Tannehill 100-1 at DraftKings. All right, week 8, Ben. What do you like? What have you bet? What are you thinking about betting?
Oh man, I got a few spots already. It is going to be kind of interesting, like you said, some decently high spreads with Chiefs on Monday night. I really like the Cowboys -2.5 against the Vikings. I think there's a little bit of home field advantage aspect baked into that I don't necessarily agree with. I do think if you were probably maybe fading home field advantage entirely, you'd probably be a little bit more profitable than adjusting by 3 or even 2.5 points, which is kind of what people typically expect. So I bet the Cowboys a little bit. I like the Bengals early on. Of course, that number's kind of out there. I do like Philadelphia, even at 3.5. I liked them quite a bit at 3. They're a team that a lot of people are going to bury. I just don't think the Lions are necessarily going to be able to contain Jalen Hurts. So I do expect a little bit of a rebound spot for him. I do like Tampa Bay a little bit. The numbers kind of moved in their direction from Monday night after that Saints performance. So I kind of like the Buccaneers here as well. They've basically been rolling through teams. So those are probably my three favorite and high volume bets I've made so far.
You said that you were a little bit higher on the Bengals than most people were heading into this season. You and I kind of in the same boat with that one. And we look right now, AFC North, they're still +250 to win the thing. Ravens -105. Browns at +350. Of course, the Steelers way down 15-1. What do you think the ceiling is for this team this year? And then what's kind of the floor as well? Because, I mean, the schedule's not the greatest moving forward. But, again, if they play like they have been playing up to this point, I think that there's at least a fairly decent amount of upside.
Yeah, definitely. So we have them with the 13th hardest remaining schedule. Of course, they have, the Jets this weekend. I think that's a win. And then we kind of learn, how good are they going to be if they can if they can beat the Browns at home in week 10. If they do, they have, another difficult matchup basically coming out of their bye against the Raiders. That's going to be kind of, I think, their two-game stretch where we kind of determine, are they legitimate top three team in the AFC? Are they going to win, the AFC North, potentially take that away from the Ravens? They're not priced to that right now, but that is kind of the direction that our model leans. So I do think that's probably closer to, their ceiling outcome. Right now, if you're looking at DraftKings.com, I think their break-even percentage to win the AFC North is right around 28%. We have that closer to 40%. So I think if you were betting division winner odds right now, they would probably be my third favorite bet here in all divisions to potentially win it at that +250 price.
What you said, that was the third one you like the best?
Third highest edge that we have on division futures right now.
What is first and second?
So we have Las Vegas Raiders as the number one team, +400. They have, break-even odds 20%. We have that closer to 39.55%. Then we also like Arizona, -175, 63.6% break-even percentage. We have that closer to 76%. So I think the Rams are probably just a little bit too overvalued. overvalued, and we're adjusting quite a bit toward the Cardinals. So those are our three favorite division odds, and those are by far the front runners. So those would be the only ones that I'd be betting right now.
We only have 60 seconds left, and perhaps this isn't enough time, but can you walk us through this prop win percentage when the game total goes under and over stats that you have here?
Yeah, definitely. So a lot of my betting happens through the player prop market right now. I know, you know, a lot of people want to focus on the game lines. I think the edge that exists in these markets is a lot better. But if you have a feel for how you anticipate this, you know, the game playing out at the game level, I do think that you can use some of these player prop categories to price out, you know, some positive expected parlays based on some of the site's pricing. So, you know, passing TGs is an obvious one. If the game is going to go over, that's a really good one to kind of pair with an over total. Under, it's another spot where you can potentially, you know, lean toward the under on the passing touchdowns. But, you know, it's some other spots that I've looked at previously as far as like banding game totals and other sorts of things. There's probably an edge to fading the narrative that like a really high scoring game is going to lead to a lot of passing attempts and passing completions. We see the market maybe overcorrect to the player prop market in those scenarios where the game total goes really high or really low in the other direction. So it's just another spot to think about when you're kind of betting some of these player prop markets here on Sunday and Monday.
Very interesting. And all that can be found, again, follow Ben on Twitter at @PFF_BenBrown. All of his information can be found there. And, of course, at Pro Football Focus. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it, man. Enjoyed it.
Yep. Thank you, guys. Have a great show.
Thank you. Ben Brown, everybody, on the show. That was pretty interesting at the end.
Absolutely.
Very, very interesting. What were his three picks, though, they liked? He liked Dallas. He liked
what are Bucks. Eagles.
Bucks and the Eagles. Okay. Coming back. More football, more baseball. Beeson's primetime action.
You are looking live at primetime action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Can I interest you in a sports betting national championship? Well, if I can, it's coming November 5th through the 7th, and VSiN will provide coverage from the main event all weekend long, including live on-location updates for all the action. Brady and Femi in the house, there to give us all the play-by-play, the blow-by-blow, if you will. It's at VSiN.com/SBNC if you want more information. Learn how you can enter for a chance to test your skills and win cash money, including the $1 million top prize. That's all at VSiN.com/SBNC.
2 million guaranteed or 2.4 Canadian.
Long fly ball, deep left center, two-run ding-dong. For Austin, is that Riley? Yes. Two-run shot, nobody out. Duvall, two-run shot, nobody out in the top of the third. 5-0 Braves. Not only is the first five looking good, but anybody who took the Braves to the full game, now we're getting into that range where even that's feeling kind of comfortable. Braves are the first team in the World Series, in the history of the World Series, to score in each of the first three innings of Game 1.
Instastat.
Instastat. Right there.
If you do happen to win the sports betting championship, though, do take your winnings in Canadian, because you get $1.24 million. As opposed to
Mercer. So take, cooler.
So be sure and get your winnings in Canadian dollars.
I am not a currency expert, but I don't think it works that way.
But you get $1.24 million that way. So just saying.
Why would I take the one when I could take the 1.24?
Yeah, exactly. Get it in Canadian.
That's the Matt Brown take on it. 5-0 Braves, and that's the end of Framber Valdez, I'm guessing.
Just to kind of recap what Ben was saying there is, yeah, he was talking about division. If you're wondering, like there towards the end, it was division edges according to what they have with their simulations that's played, yes, out throughout the course of the rest of the season. So even with the Cardinals being -175 to win the West, they still feel like that happens so incredibly often and through their simulations that's still a good bet. To bet the Cardinals to win the West at -175. And that's why we were getting to the Raiders and then to the Bengals as well, because they're at plus money, and through those simulations, it popped up enough times through their simulations, mm-hmm, that there's value on the 4-1 and the 2.5-1.
By the way, that's
on
what
those
all,
two teams.
And that's what all sports betting, yeah, is, right? That just what's plus EV. So in his order, it was the Raiders have the best value at 4-1, mm-hmm, to win the AFC West, followed by the Cardinals at -175 in the NFC West, followed by the Bengals in the AFC North.
Mm-hmm. And we talk about this a lot, and if you're newer to sports betting, you know, listen, you're betting, when you bet these plus money, that doesn't mean it's going to happen. I mean, like, that's why we're taking
right,
the plus money. It's not going to happen incredibly often, but you're trying to get ahead of what we're talking about is, and in Pro Football Focus is, you know, when we're talking about there, they're running simulations, right? So, like, it is happening X number of times through their actual simulations of running out the rest of the season, enough for them to say that the 2.5 to 1 is good enough value on Cincinnati for them to win the AFC North. Same deal with Las Vegas, right? It is like it happens enough through their simulations that the 4 to 1 that you get on that is still worth betting, even though it probably doesn't happen as often as, let's say, the Chargers winning it, you know, or whatever it might be.
That's right. It's the, you know, it's the hardest thing. By the way, here's that Taco Bell commercial. It's the hardest thing to explain to people who are used to betting football and basketball, but are not used to betting baseball. Because in baseball, the currency we typically operate in is money lines. Now, by the way, spreads are all derivative. They're all derivative of each other, right? There's money lines there, too. We just don't often talk about it. We just talk about spreads in spread sports like football and basketball. But the hardest thing to do to explain to new baseball bettors, for instance, is I took the Braves today at plus 105. But let me use a bigger example of that. When I take a baseball, or when anybody takes a baseball dog of, let's say, plus 200, right? And then somebody asks you, the way I like to explain it is somebody asks you, hey, do you think that plus 200 you bet on is going to win tonight? And I'll be like, I'm not so sure. And they'll be like, what are you talking about? You bet on it. That makes their heads explode.
Oh, right? That is right? Right there is one of the toughest things to explain to recreational new bettors or non-bettors, right? Like, why would you bet on something like
that? So plus 200, what Matt was saying is plus 200, if you do a money line conversion, and I use that number because it's one of the benchmarks you'll remember, like minus 150, 60% is your break-even, right? Plus 200, your break-even is 33%. So if in running simulations, and again, Pro Football Focus does it for football, if you ascertain that you can win that bet, I don't know, 35% of the time or whatever your edge is that you want to play, right? Let's say it's 40% just to make it a bigger edge as opposed to 33%. That is a bet to make. But it's still only 40%, meaning 60% of the time it's still going to be a loser. So I hope that's the biggest thing you have to explain to people. I hope we explain that correctly.
Yeah, I just better understanding of whenever we say, you know, why there is value on, you know, a 4 to 1 or a 2.5 to 1, even though they're not the favorite. And like Gil said, like more times than not, it's not going to hit. But it hits enough times that the number that you can bet it at right now presents some value.
It's the biggest thing in all of sports betting. Again, well, let's talk about teasers in the NFL. The reason that we love to bet. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just saying real quick. I think Matt just hit on something there, too. That's maybe like that the word value that's maybe overused and used incorrectly sometimes when you hear people often talking about sports betting. That's what it means.
That's what value means. I like how you scream that, because that is exactly right. That is what value means. Let's take the idea of teasers. Let's convert it to football here. So in teasers, teasers have historically, two-leg, six-point teasers, let's use as an easy example, those have historically been really good bets for bettors when you use particularly the Wong teaser legs, teasing it through the 7 and the 3 if it's a home favorite of 7.5 to 8.5, or if it's a home or road dog of 1.5 to 2.5, up through the 3 and the 7. So what did the books do to counter that success of bettors? They incrementally have raised the juice that you must pay in order to play those teasers. Every time they raise the juice, your break-even percentage becomes incrementally higher. That's the game of sports betting. It's all math. It's all math in the end. Math can be fun. No, not fun. Anyway, it's all math in the end.
It could be profitable, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's all math, man. It's all math.
Winning bets is fun, so yes, math, therefore, is fun.
Yeah. 5-0 Braves, as Framber Valdez has met his end in this game.
Did not make it five innings.
We're in the top of the third here. Garcia going now for the Astros, trying to stop the bleeding in this one. Lakers up 3 with Dwight Howard at the line. So, hey, sunk it. Up 4 now. 6:37 left in the second. We're all on the Lakers plus 3. Sixers have made it a little interesting. They're down 16 with 10:20 left. Meanwhile, the third quarter has started in OKC. Golden State's still down 10.
Okay. Framber Valdez, only 2 strikeouts as well in those 2 innings that he went, so didn't hit his strikeout prop either. Charlie Morton threw 2 innings, 1 hit, no earned. He has walked 2, which has a pitch count up just a little bit. He struck out 2 as well, 38 pitches through two innings for Morton. Again, they're, both of their strikeout props were set at 4.5. So Morton much more on pace there to hit his. And then, of course, we were talking about the over-under was 14.5 outs. So you got to get 5 innings if you're a starter.
Kelly, do you want to update the other? There's only one other basketball game that we haven't really hit on, right, which is Houston-Dallas.
Yeah, that that game right now, the Rockets are leading 46-45. That is 6 minutes remaining in the second quarter. Live numbers on that game. Mavericks still a 7.5-point live favorite. 230.5 is the total. Lakers up 6, 46-45 and a half minutes remaining in the first half. Lakers 3.5-point live favorites. 220.5 your live total. Thunder up on the Warriors 63-55. 9.5 minutes left in the third. If you wanted to join Gil, you could lay 1.5 right now with the Warriors, or -140 is on the money line. 216.5 the total. And then the Knicks, 92-78 over the Sixers. 9 minutes remaining in the game there. Knicks, 12.5-point live favorites. 207.5 is live total. And how about a little NHL?
Sure.
Maybe. If I didn't pull it up. Here we go. Lightning up on the Penguins, 3-0. That game just about over. Flames up on the Devils, 5-2. 8 minutes remaining in that one. Golden Knights up on the Avalanche.
Hey.
I believe that's a big game. 2-0. 7.5 minutes remaining in the second period. Golden Knights -400. Avalanche +300. And 5.5 is the live total, shaded heavily to the under. And end of one in Nashville. Predators lead the Sharks 1-0. Predators -280. Sharks +225. 5.5 your live total. Juice to the under.
Matt almost used his veto on hockey scores. Are we allowed to apply our contest entry vetoes to other things on this show?
No.
It's like, no, we don't want to hear hockey scores.
No, not at all. No more rules.
No more.
I don't know if this makes us feel any better because, again, we know the personnel that's out there, and maybe it's not going to get any better. But the Lakers are up 6 here while shooting 43% from the field and 25% from 3.
There you go.
Right now.
I like it.
So we are.
Spurs numbers equally as bad, though.
equally as bad. A lot of that has to do with the fact that Melo, in his 11 minutes that he has played, is 0 for 4. From the field over
to... No, I thought he was the savior.
From downtown. So, not getting it done so far. Russ, 7 points, 4 boards, 5 assists, well on his way to a triple-double. We probably could have bet that. We probably should have even said to go bet that. That's a prop that you can bet at DraftKings. We pretty much knew that was
going to happen. Does Melo give you that Paul Pierce vibe where, as great as they were, they also overrate themselves tremendously? He does me.
Yeah.
We'll come back. AFC North odds with the Bengals taking over that lead. We'll do that next. VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on Primetime, Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, and Kelly Bidlin. Hey, Warriors, anytime you want to cut into this lead, just feel free. Down 10, 7:15 left in the third quarter. Lakers and Spurs nip and tuck. Lakers by 1, 3:20 left in the second quarter there. 5-0 it remains. Braves over the Astros. We go to the bottom of the third in Houston. Game one of the World Series. Let's talk some AFC North odds because the Bengals are now in first place in the AFC North. So we look at the rejiggered odds here after week 7 in the National Football League, and you may be surprised to see that the Ravens are still the short shot. -105. They're the favorites at -105. Bengals +250. We just got finished hearing from Ben Brown at Pro Football Focus that's their third best division number, their third highest division odd in terms of winning a division in terms of value, just behind the Raiders and the Cardinals. Browns are +350. Steelers, one of these teams is not like the other. They're 15-1. By the way, you see Mike Tomlin get all upset today in a press conference?
Oh, man, was that weird.
He was hot. He was angry at that question.
I don't even really know what to take away from it.
Well, this is these. So here's the thing. We don't have to do this because we're able to talk about actually what's going on in sports and all that, and like mm-hmm. the different angles from a betting angle and all that stuff. But if you don't do that and you are, talking head A, B, C, D, X, Y, Z, whatever it is, you're all talking about the same stuff. So every now and then you have to, like, I'm going to be the guy who says something that makes it different. And so what is starting to get thrown around is, who could end up at LSU? Who could end up at USC? And like some of the most absurd names you've ever heard start getting thrown around. And these guys have to then these guys have to answer these absurd questions as to whether or not my friend sent me this the deal whenever Tomlin gets mentioned for LSU's job. I sent back the little rolling on his side, crying, laughing emoji. I sent like nine rows of them in
Matt,
a row.
Matt did the lean
like
on the emoji.
I sent like nine rows of them in a row. Or like, yes, this guy is going to lead. Longest tenured head coach in the NFL.
Yeah.
In one of the best run organizations in the history of all of sports is going to leave that cush job where he could retire, you know, as a Steeler head coach. To go and coach college football.
The reason Tomlin was so angry was not because of the inanity, is that a word, of the question,
yeah,
right?
Most how inanity, reading into what he said at the end.
It's
right?
what he said at the end. It's the fact he goes, do you ask Sean Payton that question? Do you ask Andy Reid that question? And you know what? Mike Tomlin is 1,000% right. 1,000% right. Because the answer is no, you don't. You don't dare ask those two guys that question. That would be ridiculous. Well, guess what? It should be ridiculous asking Mike Tomlin that as well. Anyway, back to the numbers.
Yeah, I mean, but see, okay, I'm just gonna play devil's advocate here. Unless you're a reporter who feels like he's got sources saying something and a name was mentioned.
He ain't got no sources. Like Matt said, he was just trying to do something.
I mean, I would think that way too, but no.
Did Charlie Morton just leave this game? Yeah. Charlie Morton just retired Jose Altuve, but after the pitch, he sort of slumped to the ground. Watch that.
Oh, did you see his knee like tweak whenever
And that is the end of Charlie Morton in this game? Is that what the consequence is here? Oh,
you see
yeah.
That tweak right
his,
there?
His plant foot, his left leg. And that is it for Charlie Morton, I'm guessing. Wow.
Flipping off the field.
So 5-0, and just like that, neither team has their starter. Valdez for getting shelled. Morton by injury. Well, that's a turn of events right there.
Events have turned.
The events have turned. By the way, I like when you did the emoji and you actually went to your side there.
Matt Brown's, his skill level in emoji vocabulary is far better than mine. Or,
yeah.
I mean, really probably anybody of his age that, you know, he's way too advanced in it.
So back to the AFC North odds then. Those are the odds to win the division that we just cited. Adjusted win totals. Ravens 11.5 still. Bengals 9.5. Browns 9.5. Steelers 7.5. This is the one thing. The AFC North market from preseason. Remember when we were all about the Browns in the preseason here on this set? And now that it's kind of we're all about the Bengals, the Ravens have maintained favorite status throughout. The market has never wavered on them. By the way, they're 6-1 to win the AFC, 12-1 to win the Super Bowl. Is there a bet here? Bengals plus 250?
I think so. I don't know. In that win total at 9.5?
Seems low.
They are going to have six banked.
They're 5 already, and they play the Jets.
Yeah. They're going to have six banked.
Yeah.
I believe the over is minus 150. Let me double check.
I don't care. I'll pay that.
I knew that was going to come up.
Again, minus 150, we just talked about that. So 60%. Let's get they're 6-2 after this week. At minus 150.
Minus 150. Yeah.
Minus 150. Do you believe that it is greater than a 60% chance they win 4 more games the rest of the way?
And remember,
that's your bet.
And remember, it is a 17 game season. So they would hit 4-5. They just have to close out the season 4-5 at that point.
Yeah.
Can we look at their schedule?
That seems a little silly.
4-5. It's all you need to do. If you think that it is greater than a 60% chance that will happen, that they will go 4-5, then you make that bet.
Kelly's scrambling to get us a
Bengals schedule.
There it is.
Bengals schedule.
Okay. As we said, it could be a depleted Browns team.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
You got them twice.
Steelers, they'll be favorites. They'll be favorites against the 49ers.
It's not a super-duper easy schedule, I will give you that.
It's not.
It's also not super-duper hard, though, either. It's not like the worst thing you've ever seen.
They already nipped the...
It's pretty hard. Actually,
the Ravens once.
It's harder than it is easier, I will say that. So it's not as big of a slam dunk as you might have, you know, seen with other schedules. But still, All you're asking them to do, if they beat the Jets like they're supposed to this week, is win four more games the rest of the way.
That's split. You're asking them to split with the Browns. You're asking them to beat the Steelers and then get one more win out of Niners, Broncos. They already beat the Ravens once. What form of the Chiefs will we even see by week 17? I mean, that's what you're asking. That's what you're asking out of them.
All right, based on record of opponents, Cleveland Browns have the fourth toughest remaining schedule.
Cleveland Browns or Bengals?
Except for looking at the Bengals. That's correct. They're the 12th.
But thank you for that nugget.
But
that was
keep
a very
that in mind
useful
for the
nugget.
Browns when we look at them next.
Somebody awesome. Watching or listening might have said, I wonder what the Browns' strength of schedule is, though. And Kelly, you read their mind.
Random
so well
thoughts.
Done.
Kansas City number one in that, so that could lead us back to our no bet on the playoff. I'm just bringing it all full circle.
I will say this about the remaining Bengals schedule. I know it was their third best remaining division price. I don't find it to be a slam dunk, right? I think it's likely. I don't know if it's 60% likely after they beat the Jets.
So what we say, you got to win four.
Right? Got to win four.
So easiest opponents left, Jets.
Well, that would be the sixth, though.
Jets, 49ers, Broncos, Chiefs.
Well, we're not counting the Jets because that's the sixth win. We've already counted that. So the four and five would come out of the remaining schedule from week nine on. And as I mentioned, again, they're going to be favorites. They're going to be favorites against the Steelers, going to be favorites against the Niners, going to be favorites against the Broncos. Again, where's this Chiefs team by week 17? We don't even know.
We don't even know.
We don't even know.
Nor do we know what the Browns are going to be like at week 18. So I think the way you look at it is, okay, let's say you split Browns, and let's say Raiders, Steelers, Niners, Broncos, you go 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
That's three. Then you're just asking for one between the Chargers, Ravens, and Chiefs. And again, we don't know what the Chiefs are going to be like. So, I mean, there's certainly a path. I just wouldn't call it a slam dunk.
No. But I like them to go 4-5 in their final nine games.
Minter comes in the game after the Morton injury, and Brantley just ropes one down the right field line.
Okay, it's the third inning. Yes. I got to get to the fifth inning.
I got eight outs.
Oh boy,
eight outs to get through now, which it was a coast job. And now all of a sudden, oh no.
Oh boy,
gambling is fun.
Oh boy.
But what was that? That was a shot off of Morton's leg earlier that they're showing. This is okay, and then there's. So what we're seeing by this, and again, we don't have the benefit of audio, but what we're getting is that a shot hit him in the leg earlier, and then on a subsequent pitch, he was in pain afterwards.
Mm.
So it wasn't so much a tweaking as it might be a contusion, a fancy bruise.
I've yet to be contused still.
Oh, we just naturally say that.
The next time I get contused will be the first time.
we've determined that that's the meaning of contusion on this show.
It really is. It's like everything in life. It's like finances or legal phrases. It's all things that you easily understand. They just come up with words to confuse you.
Warriors with a chance to cut the lead from 6 to perhaps 4 or 3, which would be the closest they've gotten in this ball game. Oh, behind the back from Curry to Draymond. No, they missed the shot.
Kelly's like, and if you were wondering, Coastal Carolina's strength of schedule remaining
is
67th in the country.
I get that for you. Hold on.
But we're talking about the Bengals, though. Well, let's see if the Braves can hang on here now that this game has changed entirely with the Morton injury. 5-0 Braves, though. They do have that cushion. One down, runner at second. In the bottom of the third in Houston. We'll update everything. We'll also take a look at late basketball. Nuggets and the Jazz remaining tonight. It's VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Fuel up for football with the 5-Hour Energy Football Challenge. Energize your fight for first and play for free in this 3-part contest series for your shot at $15,000 in total cash prizes. Head to DraftKings.com/5-HourEnergy now to get in on the action. 5-Hour Energy, hours and hours of energy. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. We got tweets, by the way. I just want to read a couple of these. One, this is from NHGambler83. He says, I'm with you on KC missing the playoffs, but to get better value, wait till KC beats the Giants and you might get low plus 200s. You know, here's my thing. I don't think it changes much if they beat the Giants. That's how adjusted season win totals markets are supposed to work.
Probably.
If you beat a team you're supposed to, it shouldn't shift. That's why the Broncos thing was so weird after game one. Warriors have cut it to one, by the way. Well, people jumped on there with me. And then this one, Matt, you wanted to read this one. Do you want me to just read it here?
Go ahead.
New Jersey wins. What are the odds on the first one streaming teaser Tuesday from Moscow? I'd pay minus 225, waiting for my flight back home on Wednesday morning. He is tweeting us. He sent us a little map here. He's in Moscow.
Well, I would say it's obviously because of my roots of living in Moscow.
Yes, correct.
But I didn't get tagged in the tweet, so clearly not.
What was the one from Trip Tepper you all were talking about? I didn't get tagged in that one.
Oh, a lengthy golf story. But basically, there's a golf event in Bermuda this week that nobody wants to play in. Golfers keep withdrawing, and then it's Bermuda. It's not exactly the easiest place to get to.
It is not, but I have been to Bermuda.
It is
fabulous.
Yeah, I would like to go sometime. But and they keep withdrawing. So the it's a full PGA Tour event, so everything, you know, you win, you qualify for everything that you would normally qualify for of winning a PGA Tour event. It's just funny because guys were drawing and they don't have anybody to fill the field with, so the purse just keeps getting bigger.
Warriors take the lead.
There you go, Gil.
Mm-hmm. First lead of the
NBA
game.
NBA Gil firing.
First lead of the game. By the way, if you had made your Philly second bet, you'd be sweating this right now because they're down exactly 16. What did you get, 14 and a half?
It was like 14 and a half, 15 and a half when
thing you didn't bet that.
Not worth the sweat.
Now, if the Lakers could just cooperate, what are they, down a point at the half?
A point at the half.
Okay. Anything on the late NBA game tonight? Nuggets at the Jazz.
Yeah, this was what I was waiting to see, what this line was going to do today, and it really... So up to 7.5 now, most places. It was 7 last night. I wanted to see if it was going to move much, but it really hasn't. I got to be honest, this early in the season with these two teams... I think that's a perfectly lined game tonight. Totals at 219. Not much for me there, got to be honest. So that's a pass for me completely tonight.
It seems right on. A little early in the year for me to be getting involved with something like this. A 7.5 on a random Tuesday. I'll watch it. I'll watch it when I get home. I'll watch it when I get home.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll definitely watch it tonight. But yeah, I mean, even like that's a situation where even like getting in live probably not gonna happen. I obviously like the Jazz better than where the Nuggets are at right now. But even if they fell behind, you're still talking about a Nuggets team that still has some great role players, and then obviously the MVP from last year. So.
All right, we have a quid pro quo situation here in this Knicks Sixers game for what would have been Kelly's bet. So they're up 13, the Knicks are, and the Knicks are just running out the shot clock.
But they're
leaving 6.4 seconds left on the clock. Now, will the Sixers, quid pro quo here, will the Sixers return the favor by just running out the clock, or will they decide to shoot the ball? Oh, well, it's the Sixers, so that you would have hit your second bet either way. But the Sixers will do the correct thing and just run out the clock as well.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's done.
So that one's over. Knicks beat the Sixers by 13. Sixers were under their team total as well, I would imagine, in this game.
I don't know for sure, but I would think so.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. We're in the fourth, by the way. Houston 5-0. Braves, as they take their hacks at Jorge Soler.
Why the heck is ESPN showing a final of 110-94?
Which game?
Oh, they were late. Okay, 112-99. Got it.
Yeah, right now, Braves minus 1,300.
How about that?
On the money line, plus 700 on the Astros if you think they come back from a 5-0 deficit. We should mention, though, both starting pitchers out of this game. One for getting rocked, one for an injury.
Yes. Valdez for the rocking, Morton for the injury.
Any NFL bets in the accounts so far, guys? I know we talked about it a little bit earlier.
Yeah, Cowboys minus 1.5 for me. I've got that in there. I've got the Cardinals at 3.5.
That's
in the account.
You pulled the trigger on that yesterday.
Yep, that one's beautiful.
He was with Ben Brown was with you on the Cowboys.
And he was. And then when the Titans were point dogs, I took them up and took the Bengals down.
Oh, okay. So you are playing that way with the Cowboys and Vikings. Trying to get that middle to land.
No, I haven't played the Vikings yet in a teaser.
What the heck did you just say?
When the Titans were dogs.
Titans. Man.
Kelly,
we got to end the show, man.
Kelly, we got to end this.
Rough.
This has been a rough one for you.
If
rough.
A Titan and a Viking fought, who would win in an actual fight between a Titan and a Viking?
I think a Titan.
Isn't a Titan like a godlike figure? A Titan would win.
Okay. Now that you say that, yes, I get it. I was thinking a Titan was kind of like a Viking.
Who would win between a giant and a Titan?
Ooh.
Depends what kind of giant, right?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
We don't know how big the giant is.
Tough one.
All we know...
I'm on the Cowboys, and then I pulled the trigger on those money line parlays today with the Cardinals before that number kind of, moved a half a point, not like it ran away. But so Cardinals with Bucks and Cardinals with Chargers for me.
You can't even say who would win between a Seahawk and a Washington football team. Like,
the Washington football team would, because there's only
the
one.
The entire football team.
Yeah. How many Seahawks? You know, that's really the question. You know, is it one Seahawk?
That's true.
Survivor, again, for those who are into that kind of thing. Your big favorites, once again, are the Buffalo Bills, 13.5 mm-hmm. point favorites against the Dolphins. In Circa Survivor, there are Christmas considerations with the Bills, though. Bengals, double-digit favorites at the Jets now. Rams, 14.5 point favorites at the Texans, but we don't know if Tyrod Taylor is playing or not, do we?
We do not.
And then, of course, it's the Chiefs. Monday night, double-digit favorites against the Giants.
As you mentioned, the Bills, not only with that, but even if you're just in another Survivor contest, even outside of the Circa one, I mean, there's a ton of future value for this team that I think you probably want
to look of spots to play
look
them.
To hold on to. I mean, they play the Jets last week of the year.
Yeah.
You've also got games with... We don't know what state the Falcons will be at, but there's still games with the Falcons. There's still games with – I mean, if you want to play in 2 weeks, they play the Jets even. So they still have the Jets twice to be able to get them. So there are other opportunities, I think, for the Bills. So yeah. I'd sit back on them.
Rams have at least one more spot, play the Jacksonville Jaguars at home. I don't think the Chiefs have another spot. I think this
Not
is
that
your,
you're going to feel super comfortable about.
I don't even feel super comfortable about this.
I was going to say – This is like the, you know, Gil, what are the questions you always ask? Like the double-digit favorites.
Which
like,
is the one most likely
I mean,
to lose
it's
outright.
Obvious. Like, if you had to pick one, it has to be that one,
has
right?
To, has
yeah, it's
to
like
be.
Not even a, yeah. At this point, it's like not even a question.
Unless right? it's Tyrod. Unless Tyrod, he changes everything.
He does.
So I don't know. I mean, if he plays, I don't know if it's that big of a slam dunk. I mean, the Rams might have lost to the Lions this past week. The Rams are also one of these teams. I still have PTSD from
though,
last year.
It was
year.
A look ahead spot.
Oh, right.
Yes, it was a look ahead spot.
Look ahead to the Texans.
Yeah, to the Texans.
Well, it was a revenge spot for Jared
and
Goff.
It was the revenge,
you know, and he's the one who fake punts. And you know,
it was a revenge spot for Goff, and then there were all kinds of.
Dan
things.
Campbell certainly played that game like he was like fighting for Jared Goff to win that.
He
game
really was.
At all
he,
costs.
He was. When I was asking, was it McVay that was going to try to rub Goff's nose in it. It was not that. It was Dan Campbell's like, my guy. We're gonna onside kick. We're gonna fake punt twice. Like we're gonna do everything we can possibly do.
He really did. That was and good for him.
Yes. I mean, look, he
Parlay had the best. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We made fun of his press conferences at the beginning of the year and all that stuff. And look, rightfully so, he said some ridiculous stuff. That being said, if you're bad. Who cares? We've said this before, with these teams that like worry about, oh, what if we lose by 3 touchdowns, it's going to look bad and stuff. As opposed to, like, dude, if you're bad, bust out all the stops. Who cares?
Parlay said this. Jeff Parlay, producer number 5 and 8, and host of Bet Center here at VSiN, said it yesterday morning during a break of guessing lines. He said, think about all the bad teams with the coach. So not the Brandon Staley new coach hire, but think about Sirianni with the Eagles, Culley with the Texans, Urban with the Jaguars. And there's one more I'm forgetting. Somebody who knew who's coaching a bad team versus Dan Campbell with the Lions. And Campbell's the one, like, if you had to pick a coach that you'd want of the five of them.
Sala
with the Jets, thank you. Campbell's probably the guy that you'd want the most of those guys at this point. The other guys are just disasters.
Uh-oh. Yeah, it's hard to argue that right now.
And yes, they're the winless team, but I don't think he's wrong. Boom, sticky boom means we got to go. Sorry, that's what that music means, which means it's the nightcap next. Enjoy. They'll take you through the rest of this baseball game and the NBA tonight. It is Tim Murray and Sean King from Circa. The nightcap is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.